we know there will be a day that we can stand face to face, eye to eye. We can see the face, and Father, we know that there'll be no more suffering, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more fear, Father, because you have called us home, Father. We look to that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, when I have weeks like this week where I'm going to do a sermon on a holiday, man, the internet is full of stories. There are just so many different stories that are out there, and this week I'm going to tell you a few of these stories about mothers and about what it means to be a mother on Mother's Day. I'm going to start with a story about a little boy who was watching his mother gently rub cold cream on her face. He said, "Mommy, why are you wiping that stuff on your face?" And his mom told him, "Because I'm making myself beautiful." A few minutes later, she took the tissue and began wiping it off. And the little boy said, "What's the matter? You giving up?" That tickled me so much when I read it. I was at work when I read that. I probably laughed for 10 minutes because that just sounds like a little boy asking that question. I enjoyed that so much. You know, it's hard to be a mother. You know, the hand that rocks the cradle is usually attached to someone who's not getting enough sleep. But you know what? It's hard to be a mother, but it's also sometimes hard to have a mother. When I was growing up, I remember a time when my mother told me to take out the trash. She had told me that several times, to take out the trash. Finally, she came up to me and said, "This is the last time I'm telling you to take out the trash." And I said, "Thank God, I'm so tired of hearing that." Well, you can imagine I was taking out, I wasn't sitting down very well for a while. But sometimes, it's hard being a kid. Sometimes it always seems hard to be a parent because there's so much responsibility there. As I was thinking about what scripture verse to use this week when I was talking about moms, I was one of the lucky ones. I got to grow up in a house that had a mom, had a grandma, that they actually lived in the house with me. And I had women role models my whole life. You know, I had people that Chris said, "It's okay to spoil your kid." I would guess I would have to say I was spoiled growing up. My grandmother would do anything for me. She would make a meal. If I didn't like it, she'd make me something else. I was just very fortunate, and I'm sorry if that wasn't the experience that you had. I'm hoping that it was. When you think about your mom, you can think about the good times. There's always some mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. moms make mistakes, dad make mistakes, grandma's done, but everybody else does. It's just part, and you can tell when a mom is a new mom, because everything has to be just perfect. Mm-hmm. By the time the second or third kid is, anybody can hold that baby. That first baby, it's just different, and that's the way women are, and I appreciate that. We're going to be in John, the 15th chapter. I'm going to start reading in verse 9. Jesus is talking here. He says to the disciples, "As the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love, for if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another." When you read these scriptures, you gotta realize something here. Jesus is not making a suggestion. He's not suggesting that we love one another. It's not a request. It was a command. He commanded us to love one another, to be a follower of Christ. You have to love. You have to love your family. You have to love your friends. You even have to love your enemies. It says in John, the 13th chapter, a little bit before this one. He says, By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have what?
Love.
Love for one another. It doesn't make it any plainer than that. Jesus says, how people are going to know who you are is by how you treat people, how you love people.
That's right. Amen.
You know, a lot of people say that to become a Christian, there's a lot of rules you got to follow. Really not. Not a lot of rules. But this one, this rule, this commandment is an ironclad one. It can't be broken. This one must be followed. We are to love. That's not the first time Jesus talks about how important love is. If you go over into Matthew, the 22nd chapter, there's a lawyer that comes to Jesus, and he's trying to trick him. And he asks Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment in the law?" Listen to Jesus' reply. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind. That is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and the prophets hang on these two commandments, Jesus said. One of the stories I read this week was a sad story about a young man. He was one of five children. And his mother had little to do with any of the children. She was married several times. She could care less about her kids. As she got older, she developed a degenerative muscular disease. And she gradually lost almost every physical capacity she had. You can imagine how difficult she was to care for. None of her other children would have anything to do with her. Neither would any of the men that she had married. No one except this son. He decided that he was going to love. He took her into his home and cared for her, feeding her by hand, brushing her hair, and cleaning up after her messes. When she died, there were six people came to her funeral. None of her children, none of the men that she had been married to. Just this man and a few others. See, this man got what love was about. See, he loved when love was the hardest. This woman gave him little or no love. It didn't stop him from loving her. It didn't stop him from helping take care of her. It had to be difficult. When she showed him so little love, he was able to show her so much. That's what Christian love is. That's what love is. It's unconditional.
Amen.
Love is, that kind of love is the kind of love that Christ has for us. When we're undeserving, he still loves us. When we read the scripture, we see that love is not a suggestion, it's a command.
Amen.
It's unconditional love. It says in here that love has to be sacrificial. Jesus said in these scriptures, he talks about laying one's life down for his friends. I'm telling you that the world's idea of love is totally different than God's. The world looks at love as it's just an emotion, but it doesn't have any real commitment. You know? It's, I will love you if you can do something for me. I will love you if you can help me the need that I have. When you do that, I'll have this kind of warm feeling for you. But that's not what true love is. True love is sacrificial. One of the things I watched this week was a 2020 story about, it was about mothers and stuff, and on this there was a young girl that was a lesbian. And this young lady was charged by her niece that she sexually abused this young girl. The family turned against this young girl. Everybody but the mother. The mother did everything she could to defend her daughter. She took a second mortgage on her home and spent everything she had trying to defend this young woman. Her other kids, her family turned against the mother because they believed that this young woman had done this thing. Well, you've seen this before. You may have even experienced in your family where family members turn on other family members. This young woman was found guilty of molesting a child and was sentenced to 7 years in prison. In the story, it goes about how when she went into prison, how her mother grieved for her all the time. Every weekend she would go and visit this one. She was the only one that cared about this girl. Comes to find out in this story that this niece had overheard her parents talking about their lesbian sister and how they hated her so much, and turned this niece against this woman who had been an aunt to this woman, who had treated her with all the respect that she could deserve, and so she lied about what had happened. As this niece got older, she felt bad about what she had done. This woman spent almost 4 years in prison because this young niece had heard this from her parents and took it on as her own personality and said these things just to get back at someone. It was so moving when the mother and the daughter reunited in this place, and the guy that was doing the story about the mother said, "How come you were the only person to believe your daughter? How come nobody else believed it? How come only you?" He says, "Because they weren't her. They weren't their daughter. She was my daughter. She was my daughter. I was her mom. I knew her." Sometimes we make sacrificial love. If you're a parent, worth your salt, you're going to have to sacrifice for your children. You have to be willing to do anything for them. One of the great things about this story is this young woman who spent almost 4 years in prison went to that niece and forgave her too. That's sacrificial love. Love is not easy. God never promised it was going to be easy. To love somebody the way God wants us to love people is not an easy thing to do. It's unconditional. It's sacrificial. You have to give up your own feelings many times to care for other people. As parents, we try to be the role models, the example for our children. We don't always be the best. We're in situations now where our parents provided support for us as we are children. As we grow older, so do our parents. As we grow older, so do they. And it gets to the point many times where children have to help take care of their parents. It's like circle of life. Many times, y'all have all seen it before, where parents no longer can take care of themselves. Who's going to take care of them? We as children, as parents, we need to honor our parents and help take care of them. They took care of us when we needed them. It's our time. There's a thing called the sandwich generation. It's this group of people who are trying to take care of their own children and trying to take care of their parents as well. It's not an easy thing to do, but it's the right thing to do. It's the important thing to do. It's the kind of love that has to be sacrificial. It has to be unconditional. This story that I've read you about this young man, he didn't have to do that. She didn't care about him. All the bridges were cut. All the other children had given up on her, but he didn't. As Christians, the scripture says they're going to know who we are by the way we treat other people, the way we love one another. It's so important. As we grow older in life, that we love those people that help take care of us. Nothing makes me more angry. Priscilla showed me on her phone, I guess it was last week, this poor older woman just sitting there, and this woman just slapping her and hitting her, and she wasn't doing anything. It's just because you can do that, you do that. That is so wrong. That has to break God's heart when he sees the older generation being mistreated like so many people do. I'm all for not mistreating children, not mistreating old people. No, I don't want to see kids bullied in school. I don't want violence and anger against anybody. That's wrong. But for those that can't protect themselves, It has to break God's heart. When I look at this scripture today, what it tells me is that love is what life is all about. First Corinthians 13, Paul summed it up this way. These three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, more important than faith, more important than hope, was love. We need to understand, we need to discover that the bottom line to living a good life is to love people. Loving is what life is all about. God created us so he could have somebody to love and somebody to love him back. God sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross because of love. One day, as we stand in the throne of Christ, God has called us home, and we're standing there with all those people that we loved while we were here. Then we'll fully understand the final tale of living a life full of love. Paul said these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe that how you treat people, how you care about other people matters? Yes. Matters to God. It matters to Him. My prayer for this Mother's Day is that we as people really understand what love is about. Love is not, He's not requesting us to do it. He's commanding us to do it. It's a commandment. It has to be on the top. You love God and then you love other people. The two greatest commandments, Jesus says, the two greatest is you love God with everything you have and then you love other people. It's not easy. It's not the kind of love that you're going to love me only if I can do something for you. That's not love. It's loving you in spite of yourself. It's loving you with all your mistakes. It's loving you regardless of whether you love me back. It's unconditional. It's sacrificial. Life is about love. There's nothing I can think that's more important than to treat people with love. You know, a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was just last week, Chris was up here in Sunday school, and she said something I had never heard before. She says, we can't just be nice to people. We have to be kind to people. It's more than just being nice. We can't just tolerate people. We have to love people with all their faults, with all their mistakes, because that's the way God loves us. Heavenly Father, as we celebrate this Mother's Day today, Father, we look back on our life. Father, we're going to find there were times where we mistreated people. We took people for granted. We may have even been mean to people. Father, we come to you right now asking for forgiveness for that and asking you to come inside of us, because Father, we can't love like you did without you in us. We can't do it on our own. If we do, we're going to love like the world loves. We're only going to love when people love us back. That's the only kind of love we're going to have. And that's not going to cut it, Father. That's not going to identify who we are. Father, we want to be recognized as a Christian. We want to be identified as a child of the King. We want to act like you want us to act, Father. And we can't do that in our own strength, only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you living inside of us, can we love like you want us to love? Father, it won't be easy. It will be difficult. Father, some people are so easy to love. Others are so hard to love. But Father, you love us all. We need to do the same thing. Father, I pray that if there's someone here today that doesn't have Jesus Christ in their life today, they will receive that love, that unconditional love, that their sins can be forgiven, and that you can come and live inside them. Father, if there are people here today, I know there's people that have been hurt, mistreated, talked about, walked on. Father, there's been people here today who have the world would say have every right to hold these things against us people. Father, I pray that we give that up today. That we forgive today. And we love the way you intended us to love. Father, I thank you for the women and the mothers and all those that are here today, Father. I just want them to leave here today knowing that they are loved and they need to share that love with other people. Father, thank you that you love us in spite of ourselves. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen.